1, 2, 1, 2. Is this shit on?
Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 51 for Friday, April 10th, 2015.
Two slippery nipples and the sex on the beach for my bros here. It's the spring break edition of the Weekly Dose of Fat. Woo! With your ready to travel to Tijuana hosts, Sven and Gomez.
Aloha, spring breakers.
Right on. Gomez is calling in from the Colonel Steve Austin testing facility in West Tosha, but we're joined by JK Liven in the studio, so we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
Surly makes rims and tires for fat bikes. They come in fat, fatter, fattest, and fattest. Roll on over for a visit at surlybikes.com.
Right on. So what's happening on the show this week, JK?
Our special guest is Mike Herlinger from Club Ride. We delve into beer, lesson to the beards, weekly dose of everything fat and puffette, and links from all over the interwebs. Which brings us to the beer portion of today's broadcast.
Yes, sliding right in. This week's beer is a nod to Chief Blackhawk. It's made by those folks down at Tyrena Brewing in Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
And we also like the fact that Blackhawk is a part of another Wisconsin company, being Fixation's Fat Bike.
Yeah, let's pop them.
Yep, crack them.
What do you got out there in West Tosha there, Mr. Man?
I'm drinking a Colin Dunkelweizel from Lakefront Brewery.
Right on.
Our man Colin.
We haven't had Colin. Air
Colin.
We haven't had Colin Colin for a while. Like to hear from that guy. Well, I'm taking a swig of the Blackhawk.
Yeah, that's pretty mellow for being a porter. Porters always kind of scare me because I know what they do to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's got they start the, tasting good, and then all of a sudden. Mm-hmm.
It's got a little coffee-ish kind of thing going on, maybe. Very good.
Yeah. So not a hint of apricot.
No apricot in there.
Everywhere.
Anyway. So it's an American porter. Yep, we did that. 5.6% ABV, so it's a session-style deal where hopefully you can have a couple more than your average porter, which might set you back a little bit.
And it nailed a very good with a Beer Advocate score of 86.
Super. I forgot what Colin got. That was a good Dunkelweizen. I remember liking drinking it.
Yeah, yeah. And making a soup out of it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Had a beer cheese Colin
soup. The girlfriend made a soup. So beards are getting shorn, but what's up with everybody's beard?
I'm still in the Fu Manchu.
Yeah, JK's rocking the Fu Manchu.
I got my California haircut, and then I rolled through Sunnyvale, and J-Rock said this about my beard.
Dog, I wish it was some other shit I could do, but the shit's been pimped tight, you understand?
A man of few words, but accurate, I would imagine. Yeah.
So you're riding close to the skin with your face hairs? Is that what we're led to believe?
Riding close to the skin.
I'm trying to read the word picture you're painting for me.
Yeah, your pictures are coming through the interwebs in such a nice fashion. Yep, just shorn down too. So we'll keep going with the thinning of the crop.
How much clearer can we be than pimp tight?
Pimp tight.
I don't know. Crystaller?
Yeah. So this week's beard and beer segment was sponsored by Uncle Dick's Bead Slip. You know he's getting his money's worth.
Put a dip in the slip and work that bead mofo. Ooh.
Learn more at UncleDicksBikeShop.com.
We'll be right back with the founder of Club Ride, Mike Herlinger. Mike's going to share some tips for dressing on for the spring ride.
You're tuned, to Fat Bike Radio.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa and coming soon Ursa Major at JumboUSA.com.
Hey, fat bikers.
This is Chris Daisy from Zion Cyclery. Most of the time I listen to heavy metal, but sometimes I listen to Sven and Gomez on Fat Bike Radio.
Interface complete.
Hey, please welcome to the show the founder of Club Ride Cycling Apparel, Mr. Mike Herlinger.
I like the intro. It definitely makes me feel important. Welcome, Mike Herlinger. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Mike. Glad you could make it. Is it springing out Idaho way yet?
It started as spring, but then the spring went away and went back into winter a little bit.
It went twang.
I actually had to run over here because I'm just a little chilly. It's getting down to, low 30s at nighttime, a little bit of snow still in the high mountains. But, it is definitely spring in the mountains right now, so it's cool. I like it.
And that's kind of why we invited you onto the show, to take us through the transition from winter to spring, spring to summer, any of those transition seasons where you're getting a lot of fluctuation in temperature and just how clothing choice can make your ride, good or not so good. So before we jump into that, though, just give our listeners a brief overview of Club Ride, just what the company's about, and then we'll get into a little bit about, your thoughts on clothing and season change.
Sure. Cool. So Club Ride started, I started the brand in 2008 here in wonderful, beautiful Sun Valley, Idaho. Not Iowa, but Idaho.
Uh-huh. Yeah, buddy.
And we sit at about 6,000 feet. The mountains go up to, 10 to 11.5 or something like that. So it's super mountainous, northern rocky mountain terrain. A really good inspiration for gear and clothing. So the concept came up one night when I was going for a bike ride, and someone asked me if I wanted to grab a burger and a beer after my ride. And I was like, I was working at a bike shop then. I was like, wearing this tight-fitting shop jersey, their sort of kit, quote-unquote.
Right on.
I was like, I went back to my closet and tried, was putting on just a tech shirt so I was more comfortable sitting on the patio in an August sort of scenario, and I saw one of these old school party shirts, this rayon fun thing that I bought out in, I think, Hermosa, California, back in the day. And I was like, God, that would be really badass if I can go riding in that. And from there, the inspiration came. I was like, what would it take to make this into a riding shirt? It's really technical fabrics, breathability, wicking, quick dry, stretch, extra venting, pockets for storage, easy zips, things like that. So the inspiration was born,
Yeah.
I was looking around to see who else was doing anything like that at the time. And in 08, there was a couple clothing companies that were making cotton shirts that they were calling them, cycling shirts. But it really wasn't what I had in mind. So I went to Portland, got some fabric, took it back here, and started sewing some things up. And here we are today.
Very cool. Your story of your inspiration reminds me a little bit of back when I was on the road as a rep for a local wholesale company. I used to go to the Goodwills and stuff and just find old disco shirts and stuff and cut the sleeves off or whatever. And they're like, at least they kind of had some technical quality to them, but there was no way to reproduce them. So you kind of took that idea, put some style behind it with some good technical fabrics, and are reproducing it as a, a great product. I think I have several pieces of your gear. I love this stuff.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I still go to Goodwill stores. I find,
good inspiration.
I find a lot of good inspiration, whether it's color or, just retro patterns or crazy looking collars. Every now and then we do some pretty funky things in our clothing.
Yeah.
And, it's a good place to go.
Well,
besides the recycling bit, it's kind of cool.
You can certainly see kind of the Sun Valley influence in the way your clothes look right now. I think that's a super look when you're riding and you don't want to look like a billboard. It's just super great.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't really know that this was going to happen, but beyond the technical performance, it really brings another level into riding when you have
you know, this piece of lightweight, a nice fabric, sort of just touching and not overly flapping, but, you know, flapping against your skin, it just brings another sort of, you know, sounds kind of strange, but another dimension into riding that is pretty cool, as opposed to the tight-fitting armbands and, you know, the chest that's, like, pressed up against yours. It's, it just adds another coolness to the experience of the bike, so... I dig it.
Right. So, in a lot of the country, we're just coming out of the...
You're like, right, whatever, yeah. Whatever, Mike.
No, I totally feel what you're saying. I totally feel what you're saying.
I'll interject something here.
Go.
I really like the fact that you've brought a true Western styling into some ride clothing. So, you know, we all want to be cowboys. I want to be a cowboy on my fat bike. You have cowboy. You have some cool cowboy shirts.
Yeah, this one dude back in, I think we went to a NABS down in Austin, and I don't know if it was Angry Single Speed or something like that. He wrote something up, he's like, Club Ride's a new offer for cowboys. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. I dig the Western look. You know, it's part of the original inspiration that I think it's still... It's sort of lessened as we've grown over the years, but it's still there. We do some pretty cool things with that sort of, I don't know, cowboy has this weird connotation when you get out to Florida and SoCal and whatever. They're like, oh, we don't like cowboy stuff.
We're talking about the cool cowboys.
Yeah, tell me that. Yeah, he's wearing
not the
right
suit cowboys.
You know? I'm not talking 10-gallon hat, you know, here. It's just a style.
I love my cowboy hat. I want a cowboy hat helmet, actually.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's that. That's a little bit of the history and the kind of fun we get to have. And I think the cool thing, too, is when we come up with new products and ideas and developments, we can go right outside our door and, you know, wintertime, we could jump on a fat bike or even take a Nordic skiing or whatever and go test out its breathability, its warmth, you know, factors, or in the summertime, you know, we have plenty of rides out here that you could spend 20 minutes to 6 hours just seeing how things work. So it's a good testing ground too.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of places out here, we're just coming out of bundling up from winter cycling into the days where you have no damn idea what the hell the temperature's going to be doing. So what kind of advice would you have for coping with these varying temperatures?
Yeah. You know, I honestly think one of the most important pieces is your base layer. So I make sure that, you know, when I go out anyway, I have and we make a really nice base layer. It really sets the stage on how everything else is going to work. So the base layer really isn't there to keep you warm per se. You know, it's there to pull the moisture away from your body and have it dispersed into the fabric. So if it's, you know, in our base layer called Link, it's a poly, we use synthetic in our bases. So it's a polyester fabric that's hydrophilic, so it favors water and moisture. So it pulls it off of your skin and disperses it through the holes inside of the fabric itself and then allows it to dry quickly. So with that being said, it's keeping you kind of warmer inside. Wool does very similar, but it pulls it inside the actual core of the yarn. Ours dries super quick. We also have it in the women's piece called the Henliette as well. It's more of a Henley style. But I think a really good base layer is a nice place to start. You know, the second layer, depending on, you know, for me specifically, it really depends on the ride I'm going on or what I intend to go on. If it's just a 1 or 2 hour mountain bike ride, I'm probably putting the Link base layer on and then grabbing one of our Jack shirts. And the cool thing about the Jack shirt, it's named after my son, which is cool.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites for sure is the Jack shirt. That thing is really versatile. I like it.
It's cool. You know, it is really cool. It's a, again, it's 100% polyester. So it has a hollow core yarn, which means almost like a fiber optic cable. It holds the heat inside the yarn itself. So it keeps you nice and warm and toasty. It's a pretty casual fitting shirt. It is a flannel, but then we do dress
lumber sexual.
Yeah, for the next couple of years. In the next couple of years, we'll say lumber sexual until that fades and then something else comes in. But I think the general idea of flannels will be around for a long time.
You bet.
On the Jack shirt itself, we do add extra, like a venting mesh under the arms so you're allowed to breathe nicely, get some airflow into that base layer so it will dry it off quick. And then there is a small storage pocket on the backside of the, as well. So, you know, besides the functionality of the fabric and the features on there, it's a great sort of casual two-hour riding piece. If I'm going big, maybe let's, you know, call it whatever, 3.5 or something, 4 or 5 hours, most likely I would pick up one of our Raz shirts. Again, it's a synthetic. And the Raz is a really cool, I call it a second layer on top of the link. And it's really nice. It's made with our dry slit knit fabric. It's a mid-weight, 3/4 zip with a high neck so you can keep the cold air off your neck. The really cool part about it is we did apply a brushed back to the backside of the fabric. So that's against, you know, towards your body. So it really creates almost like an air pocket between your base and the fabric itself. So that's where the warming area comes on. And if you're not wearing the base layer, it's right up against your skin, and it's super nice and comfy. So and obviously it has some back pockets for storage and then thumb loops and everything. So it's a pretty cool piece.
So would you consider that layer the one that, you know, when you get warmer, you're pulling that second layer off and putting the shirt back on?
You know, typically what I'm doing is I'm always wearing my base layer, and I would take, if I'm understanding your question correctly, I would always keep my base layer on and then just pull off that second layer and put that in my Camelback or my seat bag or something.
Right. Very good.
What do you stand on the vest or jacket?
Oh, I go jacket. You know, if I had one, if I was to say, like, I could take this or that, I would definitely bring a jacket. There's just too many times where the weather changes in a matter of moments, like you said. And I really want that arm protection. You know, the vest is cool because it keeps your core, it blocks the wind from hitting your core. And so I would choose a jacket by, you know, without even thinking about it.
Yeah, you're you know, talking.
It gets cold enough here, like in the mid-20s when we're out for a ride. And I would even go so far as to keep the vest underneath the, like, our crosswind jacket anyway, just to get a little bit more of that wind protection off of my chest.
Yeah, I find a jacket really useful because a lot of times on our longer rides, we're not riding the entire time. We're putting in some miles and then we're having a beer or we're sitting around and jawing and looking at people's bikes or taking pictures or whatever. And having that extra protection from the jacket when you're not actually moving and working up some heat really makes it a lot more comfortable for me.
Yes. I mean, you take a knife to a gunfight and you're gonna lose. So if it's race day, you know, if it's race day, then by all means, you know, the vest is the way to go. Because you're just out there hammering and you have no time to think about it. Holy cow, it's cold. You know, but, you know, who rides like that on a day-to-day basis, you know, if you're not getting paid for it? So we're stopping, we're hanging out, we're fixing tires or whatever, and, you know, we're chatting it up with our friends, waiting for people to, you know, show up. So you're not riding, whatever, like 10 to 15% of the time. And that's when you get cold. And to try to warm up after that is a really hard task.
Yep.
So during race day, I would bring a vest and wear that because obviously it stows nice and quick in your back pocket and you could roll it without dealing with sleeves falling, you know, into your chain or something. But, yeah, for typical just everyday wear, the lightweights, you know, and I typically go with, you know, around here anyway, I typically go with just a DWR or WR-coated water-resistant jacket as opposed to a big laminated heavy piece, you know. And, you know, and I went to England this last couple of months, and the guys in Scotland were like, oh, bomber-proof, you know, the more bomber, the better. But typically around here, you know, but their August is, you know, just raining every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Mud and stuff like that. So typically around here, might be a different story up in New England or some various places, you know, where, you know, up in BC or something. But typically around here, I'm just going, you know, toting my, you know, Club Ride. It's the crosswind is kind of where I would go.
So we've been talking quite a bit about what's up on top. What do you think about stuff down below, you know, keeping the knees warm and...
I just let it hang all out. Nothing down below. Just go. Oh, it's whatever I can get my hands on. You know, gosh, Yeah, I'm a big fan of the knee warmers. I'm not so worried about, like, you know, the full leg deal. It's always been a weird, almost just the concept of it's been weird to me, the leg warmer piece anyway. So I'm more of a knee warmer kind of guy, with a nice pair of wool socks and some, if it's cold enough, some winter boots. I mean, if it's bloody cold out, then I would do something different. But, you know, I'm typically on, you know, like a 35, 42 degree start time. I would put on, you know, we have the half rack knicker, which is a three quarter length short, if you will, or a true knicker, and put a pair of thermal or brushback knee warmers on, and call it good. If it's super cold in like early 30s, or if it's snow bike time, I would look at something like our rail pants. In 16, this coming up winter, we're 15, 16 fall winter. We have a really cool, call it, you know, whatever, it's a fat bike specific or just more of a Sun Valley.
Are those clothes for fat bikers?
soft shell pant called the Fat Jack. And that is a pretty cool pant. I've had some guys test it during both just regular everyday fat biking events as well as some fat bike races that happen around here and over in Driggs near Targhee, Wyoming.
Yeah, it sounds
cool.
So we
have some cool things going on there, but I'm a big knicker fan when it comes to the winter riding, as long as the temp is manageable. And I say manageable, but then the guy in SoCal is like 70, you know, but,
do you do the embrocation to keep your loins warm in the springtime? You ever heard of the embrocation?
You know, I haven't, you know, in, If I hear you correctly, I typically go with, you know, on top of one of our chamois, of course, on top of a club ride chamois, which we have a lot of juice from.
We're not talking gooch butter. We're talking about like a warming.
Yeah, like, I don't think you want that stuff near your nether regions.
I would.
What else? We got any lube? Like at this point, even olive oil would help me get that drawer unstuck.
I would
you
probably
put that on your chamois. Oh my god!
That would touch my eyeball after that and like fall down and hurt myself. No, I try to keep warming creams away from that area unless it's some near silk sheets or something like that.
Yep.
Then it's okay.
Right on.
All right. Forget I even mentioned any warming
creams. But that could be a whole segment, maybe. I guess, you know.
Actually,
maybe men's embrocation. Maybe in fall when we're thinking about it's going to be cold out, boys.
It's an all jackass episode. The weekly dose of fat.
Well, we could
put it on the gooch.
Maybe we could do a little testing out at Sea Otter. I know you guys are going to be out there, and I see Gomez has scheduled a little time with you guys to talk about some stuff that's happening. So we'll see you in about a week, and maybe we'll just slap a little embrocation on and give it a go.
We'll slap some embrocation on.
What happens at Sea Otter stays at Sea Otter.
Yes. Ben will shop for his spring wardrobe.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, bring some with you so I could try it out. I'm gonna Google it as soon as I hang up here if I can spell it correctly. I don't know if I'm gonna be horrified or pleasantly surprised.
I think that maybe, you know, it's not the filthy dirty thing. It's a real thing that people use to stay warm and warm their muscles up before. It's a big cross thing.
Yeah.
And it comes, it's just like hot sauce. It comes.
Is it like Tabasco or
the sensation?
Super fiery to just minty calm.
You know what I heard about cross? I heard that's a fad. Do you think cyclocross is a fad?
No.
No way. But it's had, in my cycling lifetime, it has had two major peaks, you know. So in the very late 80s, it was huge, and then it kind of died back a little bit. And then after the fixed gear kids kind of like found it, it has blown up huge again.
You bet.
And I don't know what it's going to do.
It's an interesting deal. I think it's a really cool extension to the riding season, as is fat biking. I do think it's here to stay. You know, I see a lot of road cyclists have sort of transferred their quiver over to a cyclocross because you know, the endurance and the skill set is transferable. It's just a little agility added to that, and they're pretty badass cyclocross racers. I think it's with the amount of roadies that are out there, I think cyclocross is just it's gonna go off and or continue to go off. You know, it might, like everything in this industry, it goes up and goes down. But I think it's around, especially with disc brakes. And there's, you know, every time these manufacturers come up with something new and cool, whether it's, you know, 650B now, which is now 27.5 or whatever the new technology
B plus
is,
we like.
That's up to today's world. It just really rejuvenates and gets everyone back inspired, and long travel bikes that are actually pedalable. You know, it's like why the enduro scene is just kicking butt right now, because you could pedal a 6-inch travel bike now, whereas before it was full downhill.
Right.
So it's, you know, there's some really cool things that are happening in the industry, and it's fun to be part of. It's I'm so stoked to be, you know, doing what I do. And
us too, dude.
Yep.
We totally are right there with you.
We love what you do, too.
Anyway,
so keep doing it.
My answer is no. It's not a fact. But thank you. No, I appreciate the did I ever say that? I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and to talk to you guys. And Gomez, I'll see you in, I don't know, 7 days maybe? And
something like that, yeah. Man.
We'll see you out there.
Continue the warming conversation at that point.
Very good. Thanks for being on the show, Mike.
Right on. Hey, thanks, guys.
We'll see ya.
Cheers.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
You're about to get your weekly dose on Fat Bike Radio.
Welcome back to the radio program. Here's Sven with this week's news and views from the wide world of fatness.
Also known as the weekly dose of fat.
Fatness. So, JK, after borrowing a few fat bikes over the past few years, you're now the owner of an actual fat bike. How does that feel?
Very, very surreal. Effing awesome.
Kim said you were like riding all over everywhere just to have an excuse to keep going on it.
I'm just going and going around. I'm like, where is everybody? Are you doing anything now? I know it's windy, but I don't care. Let's all go places. I don't care. But yeah, it's been a little rainy and misty and London foggy town weathery around here.
Yep, non-traily.
Yeah, I just wanted to just at least hit a little bit of them, but I don't want to damage because then that's bad form.
Bad form.
You don't do that. But this weekend,
beach ride action. There'll be a link to this in the show notes a little bit further down the list, but that's the Big Fish.
Big Fish Beach Ride through Zion. In
Zion, Illinois. With Chris Daisy and the fast kids from Zion Cycling. Chris has been working on some music and sending us a few samples. Gomez, you got nice to hear some of those chops. We're going to go down and invade his basement and twist his knobs a little bit.
Gomez may or may not, cannot confirm or deny anything in Zion, Illinois. I'm going to be there. So yeah.
Speak directly into this flower.
But that sounded a lot like a confirmation rather than a denial.
Now just say yes if the dolphins are in the jacuzzi, and then we'll know that you're in trouble.
You got it.
So yeah, the big fish. Do you remember that time we went for a ride, and this was somewhere around Port Washington, and we saw a big salmon probably spawning or dying, and he was swimming along, and we were riding along, and what did freaking Zito do?
What would Zito do?
We all stopped.
Jump off of it?
We all stopped, and the more Neanderthal of us fucking chucked rocks at that fish until it like jumped out of the water. Do you remember this?
I remember the fish jumping out of the water. I don't remember said stone throwing to make fish perform. I mean, you know,
I thought there was gonna be a bunny hop involved here.
Well, you know, they've got the SeaWorld controversy. This at least is a fish out in the wild, so I don't know.
We'll have PETA on us, but I swear.
Salmon are delicious.
Yeah,
fish.
Salmon are not pets all either. Right. They're not pets.
Like, all right, you 10-year-old, stop chucking rocks at the nature. Let nature just spawn.
Don't throw rocks at nature.
Yeah. Wait until it gets all the way to the grocery store, and then we'll fry it up and bake and burn its flesh.
Yeah, but the salmon that come out of the Great Lakes, you can't eat the meat in the bottom because that's where the mercury and the lead settle.
Well, that's only if you're pregnant.
Fat, into their belly fat. Oh, that's weak. Only if you're pregnant.
Or weak.
Mercury's great for you normally.
Yeah, normally it's pretty good for you.
It'll turn you into an X-Man.
Yeah. And then
you'll be as fast as mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be a
classical civilization dime. Major coming back into play. So Gomez,
all right.
You and Sven are heading out to Seattle next week. It's become kind of a spring version of the bike industry trade show. And we are expecting to see a few new things. Gomez, can we give our listeners a little sneak peek? You know, come on.
I'm afraid our information is forbidden.
No, actually, it's a big surprise.
Big surprise to us. Some of it's even a big surprise to us.
They're giant webbed foot weasels that float around in the kelp and eat shellfish like
the Cloverfield monster.
And bat on their tummies like a little tune, like
S-roar.
No, if I believed in reincarnation, coming back to the theater might not be a bad gig.
Until that eagle comes by and snags you out of the water.
Oh, I had a very interesting conversation.
Still,
with a 90...
all you can eat raw bar all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Kelp with kelp to keep you regular.
They must be pretty frisky with the women with all those shellfish.
Exactly.
Don't be
shellfish. Abalone.
Please don't be shellfish. Well, all right. Gomez, you and Sven are heading out there.
Yeah.
No, I already said those words.
We're going there.
We're going there. Yeah.
In an aeroplane.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If you're going to learn about anything new from Seattle, you should be checking out the website next week because we got some stuff planned for y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. We have cool stuff. You're going to be like, whoa.
Is it going to be like stuff for this like new fad called fat biking that I just made my purchase into?
Yeah.
And it's not like this like little niche market.
It's a niche market.
Niche.
Yeah.
Niche-y.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to introduce stuff that's going to make the bike that you just bought completely obsolete.
That's what I was waiting for. That's all you had to say.
It shall never be obsolete. So, moving right along. Well, we always give a shout out to some of the folks who post Fat Bike Goodness each week in the links section, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But this week, I think one really stands out from Super Poster, Bruce the Coast Kid. He lives in an area out there in Scotland. We just unfortunately had to kind of back off of our trip to Scotland this time. Due to our obligations.
Oh, you're but, right, bastard.
They've got a bunch of bramble and thorns and hawthorns and buckthorns. And the main thing here is thorns. And they've got a lot of problem with punctures. And Bruce has been trying a bunch of different tubeless setups over the years. And this new story is a tale of how these things are working out for him. And I think it's definitely worth checking out. We're fortunate in our area not to have too much in that realm. But I know there's a lot of areas of the country where pokey things are bad, and Mr. Tuffy liners are available too.
Have you ever talked to Julio.com about how he makes his own sealant?
I've heard secondhand how he makes his own sealant.
I'm just saying.
Well, it's probably a good idea. Does he have a lot of problem with thorns where he is? Buckthorn, probably. That's kind of an invasive species down that way.
He's 100%. Homegrown tubeless 29 plus, tubeless. B plus, 26 plus.
You know who ought to get on the tubeless plan? Bubba. That guy gets more flats than anybody I know.
Bubba ruined the ride.
Monster Quas. That too.
Right. So what do we got on links here this week, Dare? Hey.
Our buddy Eric Parsons interviewed John Lackey and Caroni about the ITI.
as only Eric Parsons can do, because he's a cool cat. All the cats
that are cool. That's got to be a good read right there.
And then our buddy Josh Spice from way back when, from the very beginning of ratbike.com.
Yeah, he was one of our first contributing authors, I believe.
Yeah. He went and took a trip up to the Nick Glacier and went through mud and bramble, and then there's just some beautiful blue ice photos. He's a talented guy. He's the real deal. And he's from Wisconsin, dude.
Yeah, he is. Green Bay.
And,
speaking of that, and
then, yeah. Pierce stop. Top of the hill.
Yeah, with Green Bay, yeah. With the Green Bay in there. Let's
Ooh.
Go.
Ooh. My legs. My liver was waiting.
You goddamn kids, get off of my lawn. Bring me more tequila.
Check. So, yep. There's some other links in here. More good stuff happening. Link to that Big Fish Beach ride down there in Zion if you want to join us down in that area on that day, this Sunday.
Yeah, come ride bikes with us for fun.
Maybe. You can check out some club ride apparel. Somebody will be wearing some, I would imagine.
And then you wanted to highlight the 20 things men with beards are sick of hearing.
Oh, yeah. There's 20 things that men with beards are sick of hearing.
Yeah. Well,
Give me one quick one.
Well, the one is if I have to show my driver's license, because my driver's license, I have bald head and bald face.
I'll be honest with you. When I was looking at going to Scotland and I had to get my passport back, I thought, well, am I going to have to shave my beard off? Because they're going to think that's not the same guy or right. A terrorist or something. And I'm just like, well, I don't want to shave my beard off in the middle of winter. So
it's like, yeah.
I might have to.
Here's what I'm sick of hearing. Who the hell is your jihad against, Buster?
Oh, I don't get that much.
Yeah, I have no jihad.
Well, actually, I do. But
I got a guy head. But, oh, you do have a personal Todd jihad.
Yes, I do. That's I do have
Todd jihad.
I do.
Todd jihad.
I do have my grudges.
A jihad is not a grudge. A jihad is different than that.
Well, this is a big, well, yeah. Normally, I just have many grudges, and then this one has become a little more.
Almost jihadi.
Yes.
You know, the time has come for us to thank Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Surly and the letter H and the letter J.
Because they're not in anything in their web address, which would be surlybikes.com.
Surlybikes.com. Well, we've managed to waste another good portion of your fine work day sitting in your cubicle. When you could be out riding your bike. Thanks, everybody.
Get on your bikes and ride!
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.